KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 9:01, we have cloudy skies, 65 degrees in Atlantic, looking for occasional widely scattered showers and thunderstorms through about midday and early afternoon. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by United Group Insurance with offices in Griswold and Atlantic. Additional information was released just this hour about an accident in Elkhorn Thursday evening, which we told you about last night during our trading post and during our overnight news. That accident injured four people. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office is a 2007 Toyota driven by 66-year-old Patricia Miller of Harlan went out of control around 5:40 p.m. as Miller was attempting to park her car outside of the Danish Inn. The vehicle crashed through the north wall of the building, causing minor injuries to three people inside the restaurant. Vern Klein, owner of the Danish Inn, told KJAN News Thursday evening it was a normal night when all of a sudden there was a crash. He heard a loud noise as he was standing at the cash register and turned around to see the car crashing into the north side of the building. Three people inside the restaurant were knocked to the ground, and there were two people in the vehicle. A front seat passenger in that car, 68-year-old Larry Miller of Harlan, was also injured. The restaurant patrons who were injured have been identified as 62-year-old Richard Clow, 63-year-old Sandra Clow, and 87-year-old Jim Tyler, all from Atlantic. Those in the restaurant were transported by Elkhorn Fire and Rescue to the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic, while the passenger in the car was taken to Murtu Memorial Hospital in Harlan. None of the restaurant's staff were injured. The restaurant, which sustained about $2,500 damage, was closed for the rest of the evening. Klein told us he and his staff were still in shock, and it remained uncertain when the establishment would reopen. The car sustained $3,000 damage in the crash. News time is 9:03.
This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance. How many times has your insurance agent offered you $100 savings right off the bat?
How does that work?
Glad you asked. When you sign up for Vanishing Deductible from Allied Insurance, you'll get a $100 credit on your deductible immediately. Then, every year you go without having a claim, we'll take another $100 off, up to $500 total. So, if you have a $500 deductible, at the end of 5 years, your deductible is zero, and it stays that way until you have a claim.
But then what?
Again, I'm glad you ask. After the first claim, if you happen to have another claim, your deductible will be at the original $500. But every year you go without another claim, your deductible starts vanishing again by $100 per year up to $500. So if you're paying higher premiums in order to carry a smaller deductible, now would be a good time to call me. I'll show you this and many other ways you might save with a policy from Allied Insurance. Because, like Allied Insurance, I'm on your side. United Group Insurance. People you know. People you trust.
Residents of Sioux City are finally seeing some positive signs that the flooding Missouri River is going back down. Woodbury County Emergency Management Director Gary Brown said the Missouri dropped below flood stage late Wednesday.
It's been 81 days since the Missouri River has been below the 30-foot flood stage in Sioux City, Iowa.
The river crested on July the 21st, and Brown said it is now almost 5 feet lower. The receding waters are showing how much work is ahead in the recovery process.
We are seeing some damage now as the water's going down to property. Sidewalks collapse, farm fields that have been damaged, lots of trees down from their roots sitting in the water, and the wind just tipped them over. So we're seeing kind of what we expected we would when the water went back down.
And Brown says the race is on now to get as much cleaned up as they can before winter sets in.
We're starting some of the cleanup process, cleaning up some of the mud and the muck off of some of the streets that were inundated. You know, we've begun that process in the areas where we can get to. We'd really like to get the main intersection of Hamilton and Interstate 29, Hamilton Boulevard and Interstate 29 reopened. There's a Bev's on the River and Hilton Garden Inns, a couple businesses there that we would like to help get reopened as quickly as we possibly can.
While the floodwaters are going down, Brown is warning residents to stay away from the flooded areas as they are still dangerous. State leaders are interested in hearing directly from the public on the impacts of flooding and how the Missouri River can be effectively managed at a meeting that's been scheduled for September the 9th in Council Bluffs. The meeting of the State of Iowa Missouri River Authority is scheduled to begin at 1 p.m. at the Luft Conference Center at Iowa Western Community College in Council Bluffs. The agenda, which includes participation by Governor Terry Branstad, includes updates on the flooding impacts and recovery efforts, as well as a panel discussion. The public comment and question period is scheduled for 2:15 to 3:05 p.m. on that date, and all comments will be distributed to the relevant state personnel and the departments and agencies involved in the CIMRA organization for future consideration. Agencies included in the CIMRA, which is again the State of Iowa Missouri River Authority, include the Governor's Office, Natural Resources, Economic Development, Transportation, the Iowa Utilities Board, and Agriculture. If you're unable to attend the meeting and want to do so, you can provide written comments by fax at area code 202-624-8189 or by emailing Christine Bartel, that's Christine.Bartel, at iowa.gov. There's a copy of that address on our website under this same story. The U.S. Postal Service has given Sioux City another shot at keeping the mail processing center there open instead of transferring the work north to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Sioux City and Postal Service officials met for 4 hours on Thursday to discuss the scheduled October 1st closure, which will cost the city about 70 jobs. The city must present its counterproposal by September 17th. The Postal Service announced the consolidation decision back in June. The consolidation is part of the service's plan to cut its staggering losses. Postal officials have said that local mail delivery would not be affected by the move. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey recently recognized Century and Heritage Farm Families. That event took place August 16th during the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines. To qualify, a family must have owned at least 40 acres for 100 years or more, in the case of Century Farms, and 150 years or more for a Heritage Farm. This year, 341 Century Farms and 56 Heritage Farms were recognized. Among the Century Farms was, in Adair County, the Norman Cating Incorporated, E. Eldon Eversole, and Bob Condon Farms. In Adams County, the Tanner and Bertina Lund Farm. In Audubon County, the Anthony P. Antofer and Merle and Muriel Vogt Farms. In Cass County, the Laverne and Karen Ackerman Farm. In Guthrie County, the Randy and Cynthia Ruth Farm. In Montgomery County, the Terry Regan and Michael M. Anderson Farms. In Pottawatomie County, the Ronald R. Posh Farm. And in Shelby County, the Phyllis M. Allen, Joseph and Patricia Michaels, and Mary Ann Schwery Farms. The Heritage Farm Program began in 2006 on the 30th anniversary of the Century Farm Program. To date, more than 500 farms have been recognized. The price for a bushel of corn has dramatically increased in the past year. Chad Hart, an Iowa State University economist, says corn prices are soaring because the demand from ethanol and livestock industries, plus demand for U.S. corn exports, are larger than yield projections.
Last summer, we had corn prices, in some cases, down around $3.50 a bushel. Now we're up in the $6 to $7 range. So we've seen nearly a doubling of prices, if you will, over that past 15 months.
The USDA predicts corn prices will remain high over the next year as flooding and drought hit other parts of the Corn Belt. Iowa, however, is pegged to produce a record amount of corn, 2.43 billion bushels. And the value of that crop will be high as purchasers compete for the limited supply.
China's been a very early buyer of the corn crop we're growing now. And that's been something that has got the market a little worked up right now.
The grocery bills for consumers are hit by those higher corn prices as products like meat, milk, and eggs get more expensive as farmers spend more to buy the corn that they feed their animals. And state environmental officials say a fish kill in Squaw Creek near Stanhope, which is in north-central Iowa, was caused by liquid hog manure. The fish kill was reported August 19th. The Department of Natural Resources traced a pollutant to an underground tile line and began to dye test on Wednesday to determine the source. The dye, which is harmless, showed up in Squaw Creek Thursday. Officials determined the source was liquid hog manure from a farm field. The agency says manure entered underground tile lines and traveled about 2 miles to the creek. The fish kill extends for nearly 3 miles. The dead fish included mostly common fish like minnows and shiners, with some larger fish including smallmouth bass. Taking a look at our world headlines of this hour, stocks have been falling in early trading today after the government revised its second quarter growth estimate downward. The Commerce Department says the U.S. economy grew at a 1% rate from April through June. Fewer exports and weaker growth in business stockpiles led to the lower estimate. Investors are also awaiting Fed Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke's latest assessment of the state of the economy at a speech in Wyoming this morning. Right now, the Dow is down almost 200 points. The S&P 500 is down nearly 21, and the NASDAQ is down a little more than 29 points. Hurricane Irene is not expected to make landfall until tomorrow, but it's already sending 9-foot waves crashing into North Carolina's Outer Banks. The storm's outer bands are already bringing light rains to both North and South Carolina. The storm is predicted to follow a northward path that could take it to New York City and beyond, affecting as many as 65 million people along the East Coast. Local, state, and federal authorities are trying to cover as many bases as they can before Hurricane Irene's expected hit on the U.S. this weekend. President Obama has declared an emergency for North Carolina and plans to make a statement later this morning. People have been ordered off the coast, including New Jersey, which could record its biggest evacuation ever. And Japan's nuclear agency says the amount of radioactive cesium leaked from a tsunami-hit nuclear plant is equal to about 168 of the atomic bombs which were dropped on Hiroshima. The country's nuclear safety agency says it's making the estimate at the request of Parliament, but adds that it's a simple comparison between a bomb blast and a long-term leak that's impossible to make. News time is 9:12.
She's off to college. You helped her get everything she needed to succeed. Her books, new bedding, small appliances, and of course a TV. Then there's the smartphone and laptop. Now she's settled in and the only thing left to do is put out the fire on your credit card and get back to normal. But what if a storm goes through, knocks out all the power, and fries all those brand new electronics? Or the girls down the hall threw a party, inviting a lot of people she doesn't even know. Does she lock her dorm room? This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance, your allied insurance agent in Atlantic. Many insurance policies allow your students to be covered on your homeowner's policy when they're at school, but some don't. Some don't cover anything once she lives away from home. Do you know what your policy says? Maybe it's time to review your policy. If we find that she is not covered, I'll show you a renter's policy from Allied that will allow you to rest easy. Call today and let me help, because, like Allied Insurance, I'm on your side. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
And in our funeral announcement, 68-year-old Bill Clarence W. Libby of Lewis died Monday at Bergen Mercy Hospital in Omaha. Funeral services for Bill Libby will be this morning at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. 91-year-old Isla Mueller of Adair died Monday at the Cass County Hospice Center in Atlantic. Funeral services for Isla Mueller will be this morning at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair has the arrangements. 85-year-old Margaret Brewer of Stewart and formerly of Casey died Sunday. Funeral services for Margaret Brewer will be today at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. 81-year-old Lillian E. Hunt of rural Elliott died August the 6th. A celebration of life service for Lillian Hunt will be today at 11 o'clock at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Red Oak. Nelson Boylan Lorette Funeral Chapel in Red Oak has arrangements. 81-year-old David Landsman of Audubon died Wednesday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for David Landsman will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. 83-year-old Maureen Davis of Bayard died August the 14th at the Guthrie County Hospital. A massive Christian burial service for Maureen Davis will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has arrangements. 96-year-old Georgine Peters of Roanoke, Texas, and formerly of Harlan, died August 16th. Memorial services for Georgine Peters will be held on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan, with the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan in charge of the arrangements. 91-year-old Genevieve Handlos of Manning died Thursday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. A massive Christian burial service for Genevieve Handlos will be on Monday at 9:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. 84-year-old Gilbert Mueller of Atlantic died Wednesday at the Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Services for Gilbert Mueller are pending with Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic. And 84-year-old Dorothy Johnson of Orient died today at the Hospice with Heart House in Glenwood. Funeral services for Dorothy Johnson are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news has been brought to you by United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.